Today we're going to continue on very much with last week, and I was really encouraged when Grant brought that song out, that Good Ground song, because the message from last week, the parable of the soils, that's where it ends up. That's the goal for all of us who are disciples of Christ. How do we be good ground? And today's message goes right on, it's dovetailing on the back of those. These are big picture parables that continue to give us insight into what the kingdom of God is about, what God's word is about, how it operates in our world. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we do well to really put in the time to kind of decipher these parables and learn how we live by them, the principles that are involved in them. You know, and as context, we want to keep in mind that first parable that he told last week and what he says about it. In the text, he goes through and he tells the parable, and then before he does the debrief with the disciples, he says this. It's Mark 4:13. Then Jesus said to them, "If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables?" And the key in all that is the Holy Spirit deciphering this and giving us the knowledge about how it works, God's word being illuminated to us. But, you know, we're going to look at more about how God's works and how God's word works in different people's lives. That's the key to the parable of the soils, is understanding that different things happen out there with God's word. And we play a role in being that good ground with God's word. And so these parables that we're going to look at today, they continue to teach us about who God is, how he operates, and how he wants to transform us, how he wants to transform us by renewing our minds. He wants to change the way we think about things. And the only way that happens is to plug in the way that he thinks about things. We've got to change our mind. We don't show up thinking like God. I don't know about you. I don't show up thinking like God. It takes time. It takes God's Spirit to change the way I think about things. And for us to walk closely with him, we've got to get into this mindset where we're seeing things the way he sees things. So if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, today I want to encourage you to ask God's Spirit for insight into the meaning of these parables and then the conviction to go ahead and build them into your life, these principles that we're going to look at today. So we've got four parables that we're going to look at. Let me pray. Father, we open up your word today because we care about it. We care about what it says. We value your word, Lord. And as your disciples, we want the spiritual insight that you're trying to give us. We want to understand how you operate and how we can walk closely with you, Lord. So I pray for that today. I pray for a yielding amongst us, that your Spirit would speak to us and that you change us, Lord. Change us by your word. Change us by your will. And we give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we do it. Amen. 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 So we are in Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 34. I'm going to be using the NASB 1995 translation if you want to get directly to it, but the words will be up on the screen. So we begin again in verse 21. And again, this is a continuation of last week. If you remember, he told everybody to sit down on this big hill, and he starts speaking and teaching, and he tells the parable of the four soils, and then he goes right into this. And he was saying to them, "A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." That's the big thing right now. We want to have ears to hear. So I hope that God's speaking to you directly. So this parable comes right on the back end of the nature of God's word that he went through in the four soils. And it's really talking about how God's word works. That's what this lamp is. This lamp is God's word speaking to us. And the purpose of light is to make things more visible. Light enables us to see better. God enables us to see the world from his point of view through his word. And that's his Spirit working. It's Scripture working. It's even people can speak God's word to each other who are part of the family of God. God uses us to sometimes speak his word. But his word, and when I say his word, again, I'm talking about his will and his ways. It's revealed to us, and it helps us see. That's what this lamp is all about. And, you know, the combined God's word and the Holy Spirit, that's the thing we're looking for. We take the scriptures, and we read it under the yielding to the Holy Spirit, and we get the illumination, which is we understand it. We see what God's talking about. And then we take that and we build it into our lives, these principles. That's what he's talking about. And so when God enables you to see, then it's time to do something and act. And that's why he says, anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. We're to respond to this. We're to recognize that God is trying to show us things through his word. Nothing is going to be hidden forever. There are things that are hidden from us for now, but we will get to see it all. But it's also the idea that God's word can help us see what the truth is about our world. Sometimes we can be deceived by what the world says. This is how it goes. God's word can show us the bigger picture, the big kingdom pictures that we can look for. So that's the first parable. Next parable, verse 24. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Now, just to look at this, it's like, what is he talking about? So first off, there's this difference between the idea of hearing and listening. It says, those who have ears, let them hear. That's to begin to take it in. But the listening is where we decipher it, and we start to understand what it is actually saying, right? And this parable is to be understood in the context of God's word, because it's continuing on, and it's talking about listening to things. And what are you listening to? Are you listening to God's word, or are you listening to what the world is propagating, what the world is trying to tell you? We have to learn a lot about how we understand God's word. It doesn't just come to us naturally. So it's something that we have to take the time and kind of put this value on. It says the standard of measure that you use, and that's kind of how well you value it, will be the way that it comes to you. The more that you value it, the more that it will be given to you. This is this thing, it's a basic principle. The more we get into God's word, the more we can understand God's word. The more we understand God's word, the more it draws us to be into it. I mean, reading stuff that you don't understand, it doesn't make you want to do it, right? But that insight that God can give us gives us hunger for the word. And that's something that we can literally ask God for. I don't know if you've ever done that, is say, God, give me a hunger for your word. And in that, he's going to increase your value of the word. And as you increase the value of the word, you will start to understand it more. Whoever has, to him shall be given more. So when you take charge of God's word in your life and you build it into your life, you start to build it more and more. It builds on itself. And, you know, there's really no middle ground here given, right? It says if you are seeking it, you will get more. If you have nothing, what you have will be taken from you. Think about that. If you're going to just treat God's word as nothing, well, you're not going to get anything out of it. If it's a thing that you kind of check out in your spare time or whatever, why in the world would you expect to understand it well? You've got to put your impetus into it to say, I'm going after it. And in that, God meets you and says, let me show you what I'm talking about. It's an active discipleship process. We learn about the word because we're after it. But like I say, there's not an in-between here. There's not a place where you can hang out and kind of know the word. It doesn't say that. It says if you're after it, you're going to get a ton. If you're not after it, you're getting zilch. And as a disciple, that's not what we're looking for, I don't think. Next up, verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and he gets up day by day and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. God's kingdom is operating on principles at times that we can't understand with our senses. As we look at what God is doing, our vision and our hearing and stuff, it leaves us short of really understanding it. And that's what this is saying. How in the world does a seed go into the ground and grow? I mean, you can study biology and see all the bits of it, but the farmer doesn't need to know all that. He knows that God's doing it. And so he lets it go, and it produces what it produces, and then there's a job for him to do at some point in time. That's when it's ready, and immediately he puts the sickle in. You know, we have a lot to learn about our natural world, and we know a lot about it, but there's stuff that eludes us. And we can either be frustrated, like think we got to understand everything, or we can say, you know what? I'm going to leave that in God's hands. That's what the farmer kind of does. I mean, he has some control. He plays a role, but he does not have the complete control. That seed could go into the ground and just die. Another one goes in the ground and flourishes. He has to be able to go, okay, I'm just going to trust this part. But when it comes to be my time, when I'm to do something, it says when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. We've got a role to play in dealing with God's word and dealing with what goes on out there. And when it's time for us to do our part, we're to do it. We need to know our role and do it, but we need to let God do his part and trust him for that. Know your role in the process and then play that role when it comes along. Verse 30, next parable. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? Jesus is trying to build word pictures for people so they can get this right. He says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is grown, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. Jesus is searching, how can I describe the kingdom of God to you? And this is the thing. He's telling this to everybody, but only so many people actually have ears to hear. If you've been given ears to hear, take the time to figure out what he's talking about. And what he's saying here is the mustard seed, it appears to be something small, insignificant. Based on our senses, as we look at it, it's small and maybe we can say almost worthless. But then in ways that we can't comprehend, it becomes part of something massive. This smallest of all seed grows into this huge plant that we would have never expected, right? And it also, it does support things. It's not just a little thing that's growing on its own, but it now becomes something that supports other life. It gives the birds a place to nest in its shade. It becomes a support for other things that need that foundation. And this is how the kingdom of God works. Sometimes it's beyond us. It doesn't make any sense. But when we recognize how it operates, then we can be a part of it and get in there. And we can be like that. We can be something that might be considered insignificant, but God can grow us into something that can support other things. I mean, that's the goal, that we were grown as disciples so that we can support other activity of the kingdom of God, the margin to reach out to other people, the margin to have compassion and help other people, to support people. And then we end with this part here. He says, well, the text says, and with many such parables, he was speaking the word to them so far as they were able to hear it. This is the whole crowd. So only certain people were actually able to understand what he was saying, right? And he did not speak to them without a parable. All the times he's speaking to large crowds, he's speaking in parables. But he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. The word, God's word, communicated by Christ is done through examples and parables. You find that throughout the scriptures, right? And the crowd could understand them to varying degrees, depending on how much the Holy Spirit was illuminating it to each person in their life, right? But to the disciples, and in this, there's not so much as a debrief as we saw last week. Jesus is explaining to them things, but also the Spirit has been given to illuminate things to them. And that his people, us, we can understand these things if we take the time and ask God to show us. And that's what it's like to walk with Jesus, as we say, show us what you're talking about, God. Explain all this stuff to us. And Christ reveals these things to his disciples. And you got to realize, guys, and I don't want to sound strange about this, but not everybody gets it. Not everybody understands it. Not everybody has the Spirit of God and can comprehend it. So if you do, value that. Be a good steward of that. When God gives you some spiritual illumination, recognize that as an incredible gift and put it into play in your life. Don't squander the gift of understanding God, because it's not something that everybody gets. And even us who do get it, we don't get it all. So what you get, make sure you make the most of it. So let me go back and kind of summarize these parables. I don't pretend in any way to be like Jesus, but I'm going to help debrief his disciples on what he's saying, right? First off, parable number one, this lamp is God's word being revealed, illuminated to people. That's what that representation is. and it's explaining the reality of who God is and what he does, and it's showing the truth about things. So that's what God's word does. It shows us who God is, and it shows us what truth and reality is. God's influence in our lives is light, right? That's not, the scripture actually starts with there, but the quote from John 1:9 is, "There was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man." And that true light is Jesus Christ that John's talking about. So this illumination of God's word, this is a gift to us as his followers. And this is how we understand God. Parable number two. What you listen to, that he's referring to, is a reflection of what you value. It's kind of like what you consider to be your worldview and what is important to you. That's what you pay attention and listen to. And so God's word as a disciple of Christ should be the top priority for you to listen to. And then the way you value God's word by paying attention to it, studying it, applying it, that's proportional to how much understanding will be given to you. If you put the highest value you possibly can on God's word, I will tell you, you will become more and more knowledgeable about what it says. But if you don't give it precedence in your life, if you don't give it priority in your life, you shouldn't really expect to understand a whole lot about it. If you're constantly confused about the Bible because you dabble in it, that's what Jesus said is going to happen. How much understanding will be given to you is in proportion to how much you go after it. And the abundance will be multiplied. If you go after it a lot, you're going to get a lot. But the lack of it will become total at some point. It'll be zippo. You'll get nothing, and you will live outside of understanding of God. Because in Matthew 25:29, it says, "For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away." Again, there's no middle ground here. It's all or nothing kind of with God. We go all in, and that's how we look at his word. Parable number three. A foundational principle of God's kingdom is that he makes all the growth happen. Biblically, as we look at how people come to salvation, how people become part of the kingdom of God, God does it all. We do nothing. We bring nothing to the table that is of worth and of value to bring us into a relationship with God. What we do is respond to him and his call and surrender, right? He makes all that growth happen like the farmer in his field, and it's necessary, the growth that needs to happen in us. He knows what needs to happen to get us ready for the kingdom of God. And when people are at that point where God's built up in them and they're ready to become Christians, that is the time when we can get involved. He's going to bring them to that point, but we have a role to play, and that is to be harvesters, right? That we can be part of God bringing people to Christ if we keep our eyes open, trusting him to do his part. But when it's our turn, we know what to do. We get to participate in that harvest. And he talked about that a little bit last week in the parable of the good soils, is it's multiplied. The good soil multiplies the word of God. So as the word of God is planted in you, our job is to multiply that out. And we get in that game, so to speak, as we become part of the harvest. And again, Jesus said in Matthew 9, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And here's the cold, hard truth. There's a lot of people who give their life to Christ and spend their life without ever seeing anybody else come to Christ. And I hope that's not you. I hope you get to be a part of seeing other people come to Christ, because we're supposed to multiply this thing out. It's that good. So he says, therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. A great prayer that we can all pray is that we would be part of God's harvest, that we would see what he's doing and jump in there. And that's something that we have to kind of sacrifice to do for the most part, because we don't get to do that on our own time, and we don't get to do that when it's convenient. You have to give, and you have to sacrifice, and you have to be inconvenienced to be part of that harvest. But I'm telling you, it's a great thing watching people come to Christ. It's kind of what I get up for in the morning. Last parable, number four, the mustard seed. The mustard seed represents the kind of otherworldly nature of the kingdom of God. It's not what it seems to be. It seems little and insignificant. But in the kingdom of God, it's oftentimes a flip, right? The first is the last is the first. So we got to try to get God's viewpoint of things instead of our own natural human viewpoint of things. And what can seem insignificant to our senses can be used by God to become so important that it actually supports other things. So if you think, oh, I've got nothing to give to the kingdom, think again, because God can make you into a support
of the kingdom.
This building, see these big things here? Those are steel girders. I don't know if you guys know that. But those things keep this building up. And you can be one of those things. God can grow you into something that supports other things. That's the whole point of having this wonderful gift of God, this salvation, is that we can then use that to support other things. And you may feel very insignificant, but God doesn't see you that way. And He can make you something extremely significant. You never know. You know, Matthew 19:26. And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." We got to always remember that. What you might put limitations on yourself, God doesn't have those limitations. And then we can't put any limitations on God. We don't know what in the world He'll do. One of the great things about being a follower of Christ is every now and then it's like, "Whoa, God, what did you do?" You know, that's how it should be. It should surprise us a little bit, but then we learn from that. We recognize, okay, I'm going to look at things and maybe try to look at them the way God sees them instead of the way people see them. So in order to do some application on this, I got one more. This is the last little bit. This is not the parable, but this is the summary of that last thing Jesus says. Jesus' words to the general population are unexplained parables throughout the Gospels. He speaks these parables, and a lot of people just like go, "Well, I don't know what he's talking about." But some people get them. But without the Holy Spirit, they're just words without meaning. But God allows Christ's disciples to understand the spiritual significance of His parables if we'll take the time, if we'll ask the Spirit to illuminate them. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you've got ears to hear, perk them up. So application-wise, I've got 5 application questions for you. What specific parts of your life could use some of God's light shined on them? The illumination of God's Spirit and His Word in your life. What parts need a little light shone on them? Something to think about. Number 2. What actions can you take to honor God's Word and treat it as more valuable than you currently do? Like I said, I think this is saying very clearly, if we value God's Word, we can get the abundance of it. But we've got to bring that stewardship to it, and we've got to put in the time to a certain degree. You know, sometimes it's just like making the commitment to be there and to meet with God in His Word as often as possible. So think about, what can you do? How can you structure your life to put more value in God's Word? And if you do that, your life will reflect a lot more of God's Word. Next. What are some ways you can make yourself more available to join God in His work going on around you? How can you be ready for the harvest? It doesn't work like this where you just go about your life and then God says, "Hey, it's time for harvest." And you'll be like, "Oh, I got other things going, God." How do you create margin and get into people's lives and put yourselves in positions where you can be part of what God's doing? It takes some thought. It takes some restructuring of your life. It takes creating some margin, really. Because if you're busy doing and going, you're going to miss what God's doing. And it's in this world, it's tough because we're all being trained. And I look around here and I see a bunch of you. I know you got high-powered careers. And your bosses are all trying to get 80, 90 hours a week out of you for the most part. How do you kind of figure out how to make the changes in your life so that you have the time to do what you want to do in God's kingdom? And this is something as a young person you need to figure out. Because if you don't figure out as a young person, you will get stuck in that rut and you will never figure it out. It's the rare person who later in life figures out how to walk with God. Because you get caught up in the world. It's the third soil that we talked about last week. The cares of the world are going to take everything else, and that's going to be your priority. God will not be. Next. What resources can you use to evaluate what is valuable based on God's point of view? How do you get to God's point of view? How do you train yourself to do that? What resources can you avail yourself of? People, studies, groups, being a part of God's body, all these things will help you see God's point of view. And once you start to see God's point of view, you can create more value in your life regarding it. But again, it takes change. We have to go against the grain of what the rest of the world is taking us into. And we've got to think about it a little bit and say, how do I figure out God's point of view? And how do I see that more often? And then last but not least, this last one. What are some ways that you can be actively grateful for the spiritual understanding God has given you? First off, to make that mental thing is like, I am so grateful that God has shown me who he is, that he's revealed himself as Jesus Christ, that I know that. And so what am I going to do with that? Right? What are you going to do with the spiritual understanding that you've got? If you don't do anything with it, you won't get any more. It's like kind of like if you use it, you will get more. Figure out how you can do that, just to be grateful. And that gratitude will flow into other things, and it'll take you places that you haven't been before. Well, that's all I got for you today. I hope that's enough, and may God take that and plant it into your good ground and produce a crop. And now I'll give it over here to Laban, who is going to lead us in our time of communion.